in my Pennsylvania studio, but what a great time in Pinehurst, North Carolina with Ann Brechtelsbauer. Oh, yeah, I had a wonderful time there. I only had one slight complaint. I don't know if Ann's going to listen to this. She probably will. It's not her fault, but she liked to have the radio playing, you know, constantly down in the kitchen, which was fine, but it was a light rock station. It was, like, quite depressing. I don't know, yeah, you know, some of those light rock songs are just sort of really so emotional, and people singing about their lost loves, and they're wistfully pining. They're not, like, driving, talking about sex, like, or rock and roll. They're just very mellow. James Taylor, somebody should wake James Taylor up, is my opinion. Very, very depressing. White Walk is not exactly what I like. They play songs like Do That To Me One More Time, Once Is Never Enough, With A Rabbit Like You. I need the classic walk. And then there's my favorite Bob Seger song. I really love to watch her strut. I really do respect her butt. I really love to watch her strut. So I jammed, you know, on the way home. But, you know, everybody has their own taste. Ann and I, when we went to these meetings, it seemed too good to be true that these folks were just so tuned into the truth. And we thought, somewhere along the line, this is going to blow up. Like, we're going to find out they're waiting for this spaceship, you know, there in faith. Or we're going to get there on Tuesday night, and they're going to say, okay, now we all take off our clothes and dance around the burning bush. But it never happened. In fact, the more we probed, the more I talked to Alan, the more I realized how true this guy was, the real deal. They believe the right thing about death. They believe, and they know about the eons. They know about the salvation of all, and they correctly cut the word of truth. I spoke on sin Tuesday night. There were 40 people there for the Tuesday night gathering. They usually have it in a little answer room there off the main room, but we had it in the main room. You might have seen it streaming live on Tuesday night. And I spoke on our deliverance from sin, and I said, of course, that deliverance from sin has nothing to do with how much or how little you sin. It's based on an objective declaration of God. And I talked about how detrimental it was to analyze our walks. We're up and down, and they ate it up. They loved it. And one woman came up to me and said, I've been carrying something for years, and it's gone. You delivered me from this. Well, thank you, but I didn't do it. The scriptures did it. I was a conductor through the scriptures Tuesday night, Romans chapter 6 specifically, and Romans chapter 7 as well. Great passage to show how Paul the Pharisee struggled, and what's he delivered from in Romans chapter 7. Read the last couple verses. It's a surprise there. Paul says, consequently, I myself with the Spirit still labor for God's law, but in the flesh for sin's law. So what has changed? His war with his flesh. Great truth. Maybe we'll do a series on that here on my show, but I can't say enough about the folks in faith and the folks in Charlotte. A couple of them came over to see us in Faith Tuesday night, so thank you one and all. Thank you, Alan Hess. Thank you, Ann Brechtelsbauer, and everyone who attended these meetings. Now, we're back in 2 Timothy, and we're going to jump back. I got off on a lot of tangents there. That's quite all right, Martin Zendel. We like it when you go off on your tangents. Thank you very much, Elmer, but I got to keep on track here. We're in 2 Timothy in Clyde Pilkington's book, The Church in Ruins, Brief Thoughts on 2 Timothy, Paul's Last Letter to the Church. I hope by now, we're in like the 11th week of this show or the 8th week, I don't know. I hope by now everybody's got this book, ordered it from Clyde at studyshelf.com. We talked about correctly cutting the word of truth, rightly dividing. King James says it's 2 Timothy 2:15. Concordant version says correctly cutting. And I told you that we correctly cut when we distinguish Paul's gospel from that to the circumcision, Paul's gospel to the uncircumcision, and we're cutting it away from Peter's gospel to the circumcision. But there are also time divisions. We need to make a threefold division here in time. Now, Timothy was in Ephesus when Paul wrote him, and as we know, Paul wrote a famous letter to the Ephesians. In this letter, he gives a panoramic view of God's dealing with humanity through the ages, and he makes a distinct, identifiable threefold division here. And he does it in Ephesians chapter 2. And again, Timothy was in Ephesus. He was familiar with those folks of the ecclesia there. Paul talks about the past, the present, and the future. And if we learn to differentiate these, then we can understand the Bible. And we ignore these time distinctions to our own peril. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, Paul talks about the past. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, he talks about the present condition of the saints. Verse 11, the past condition. Verse 13, the present condition. And in Ephesians 2, verse 7, he talks about the ages to come. So Paul is telling the Ephesians here, and I'm telling you the importance of knowing where you are in God's plan. So I'm going to take these one at a time. I'm going to look at the past, about how God thought of we of the nations in the past. We're going to look at the present, God's current attitude toward us. And then we're going to look toward the future. And we can't mix any of these up. And if we do, we're going to miss important truth. Or we're going to be out of timing with God's timing. So I'm going to take these one at a time. And when I'm done, I'm going to show you where we are on God's calendar. You know those little maps at the mall that you get? You are here. I stopped at a few rest stops today on the way from North Carolina back to Pennsylvania, and I would always look at the maps, and they say, you are here. I was on Interstate 81 North, coming through North Carolina, Virginia, Maryland, a little bit in West Virginia, then into Pennsylvania. So it's helpful to know where you are. And we are in an extremely exciting place in the Aeonian times. And so we'll talk about that when I finish talking about these three time periods. So let's go to the past. Let's see how things were with us. And for that, I'm going to go to Ephesians 2, starting with verse 11. Ephesians 2:11, wherefore remember that once you, the nations in flesh who are termed uncircumcision, the word once takes us back to the past. I think the King James Version there has time past, in time past. The Concordant Version has once. Wherefore remember that once you, the nations in flesh who are termed uncircumcision, by those termed circumcision in flesh made by hands, that you were in that era. In that past time, you were apart from Christ, being alienated from the citizenship of Israel and guests of the promised covenants, having no expectation and without God in the world. So this is what we once were, and this is time past. And here are the distinctions. Here were characteristics of that time past. Paul says that once, back in the day, the nations who were termed uncircumcision by those termed circumcision, stop right there. In the past, there was a distinction. There was a racial, physical, social distinction made by God between the circumcision and the uncircumcision. This was based in the flesh. Remember, Paul says, those of you who are termed circumcision by those termed circumcision in flesh, the distinction was in flesh. Flesh made by hands. Circumcision was a rite performed by the priest by his hands. And at that time, this is part two, the second identifier of a past thing is that the nations were spiritually alienated from God. And they're said to be apart from Christ. They were at arm's length. They were held at arm's length. Remember, our Lord held the woman from the nations who begged him, implored him to heal her demonized son. He held her at arm's length and he said, it's not right to take what belongs to the children, take the bread that belongs to the children and give it to the dogs. And so at this time, the nations are still alienated from God and they're apart from Christ. Third part here of this past condition, the reason for this condition is because they were alienated from the citizenship of Israel and guests of the promised covenants, having no expectation and without God in the world. And I think of Cornelius. He was a guest of the promised covenants. No, I still don't know whether that's Acts chapter 10 or Acts chapter 12. One of these days I'm going to find out. You've all probably figured that out by now. But he was a guest. He was a second-class citizen. He was alienated apart from Christ. And again, in that time past, the only way you could get to God was through Israel. And if you were a nation, if you were a member of the nations, a non-Israelite person, the only way you could come to God would be as a second-class citizen. Now, here's the key point. Whenever you find anyone continuing to make these distinctions today, and whenever they tell you that God governs this way today, then you will immediately know that you are being taken into a time past. You are being dragged back through a time machine into the way things were. The way we were. I can't do Barbara Streisand, but I might be able to do Elmer Fudd singing The Way We Were. Elmer, can you come over and try this?
All right, if I must.
The way we were. Is that all right, Mr. Zenda?
That's fine, yeah.
That's fine, thanks. Okay.
That was my pleasure.
I'm sure it was your pleasure. Thank you very much.
Can I go now?
Yes, go ahead. Bye. Thanks. Say hi to Bugs.
I'll say hi to that Wascally Wabbit if I feel like it.
All right. So anyone that takes you back there, they're out of sync. They've gone back to a condition that God has moved forward from. Now, because the books of Genesis through the book of Acts are taken up with God's past dealings with humanity. And at that time, he dealt with them in accord with circumcision and uncircumcision. He dealt with them as though the nations were second-class citizens. Not going to talk to you right now because it's not right to give the children's bread to dogs. Anytime anybody makes this distinction, a lot of Christians today, they still, you know, give Israel preeminence. And that they're still envious of the chosen race as if it's some great thing that they don't have. I told you how I used to envy the priest. I thought it was the greatest place you could be. That man on the altar, the highest place in the church, right beneath the crucifix of Jesus Christ. But Israel is the priesthood nation, and that's the way God dealt in the past with me. Now he's no longer dealing that way. How is he dealing with us now? I'm going to tell you that on Monday. We're going to talk about the now, and Paul gets that in verse 13, yet now in Christ Jesus. What happens then? We're going to find out on Monday. Then we're going to take you into the future. We're going to look at the ages to come in verse 7. And when we get done with all this, I'm going to bring out the big mall map, only it's going to be a gigantic map of the eons, and I'm going to show you the magnificent arrow, you are here. And when you find out where you are in God's Aeonian plan, I think it's going to excite you. The clock is ticking. We're getting close. The crisis of the eons is upon us.